Episode 1006, My Strength is My Story with Anne Bogle, Reading People.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio.
Happy, happy day. I hope you are having an extraordinary week. Today is my favorite day. It is My Strength is My Story series, and we have an incredible guest with us today. Her name is Anne Bogle. Now, you may actually know her if you're a book fanatic. Oh, yes. Modern Mrs. Darcy? Ring a bell? Oh, well, we're going to talk about that real soon. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family and followers of Anne's, welcome. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. What would a crystal ball do for you in your life? What if you could take away some of the conflict that you struggle with, or you could figure out a way to grow your business differently than what you know now, all by this crystal ball called personality? Oh, yes. Anne goes deep into it. We have an incredible discussion from marriage to counseling to children and homework. You name it, we talk about it. And it's delightful. She's going to open up your eyes to things that maybe you haven't thought about but only heard about. So without further ado, let's welcome in my friend Anne Bogle, Reading People. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. I am so excited to have on an extreme, amazing woman, Anne Bogle. Oh my goodness, you are going to love her. Yes, she is a wife of 17 years and a mother to four wonderful children. In 2011, she launched her now popular blog, Modern Mrs. Darcy, which averages more than 1.2 million unique visitors per month. That's not per year, that's per month. Anne is a well-respected tastemaker by readers, authors, and publishers. Her book lists are among her most popular posts. In 2016, Anne launched her brand new podcast, What Should I Read Next? And congratulations on your 100th episode. And What Should You Read Next? Is her brand new book, Reading People, How Seeing the World Through the Lens of Personality Changes Everything. A Woman Who Dwells in Possibility. Anne, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on. I got to tell you, I'm a little intimidated. When I was growing up, I was never an avid book reader. Oh, mm-hmm. No. I was mm-hmm. one who just kind of was like, not so much. And now I find myself reading kind of mm-hmm. like you do. I think you mm-hmm. average 10 books a month.
I don't actually keep track.
Oh.
but whether you read one book a year or like 100. It's book people are the best people. I'm glad to hear you're one of them.
Well, I hope so. And I think mm-hmm. people are going to really connect with your book, Reading People. It's a unique book. But before we jump into that, I want you to tell us a little bit about where you are right now. What keeps you moving and grooving in life?
Oh, okay. Well, at this time of year, October is the best month, mm-hmm. but it's also insanity. So going to bed a little bit early with a novel,
ooh.
The crock pot, although I'm getting to know my Instant Pot, ooh. And my husband and I are watching Parks and Rec for the first time, and sometimes it's just the 20 minutes of comic relief you need at the end of a long day.
Amen to that. Sometimes mm-hmm. you just need to laugh a little bit.
Yes, you do.
Yes. Well, you have built a business reading books and mm-hmm. how you can, you know, build a better life through books. Mm-hmm. But now it's all about your book, Reading People. Take us back to where this personality interest really started. I have this sense that it just didn't happen in the last few months.
No. I'm a longtime personality geek. So from very young. So my mom brought home a personality book when I was in my late tweens, my early teens. I don't remember. I mean, I can still see it in my mind with the yellow cover, but I'd never seen a book like it before. And I just got a little bit fascinated with it and then forgot until I went off to college and took the Myers-Briggs at a certain point, like so many college students do. Mm-hmm. And then again, like I was really interested in it. I love the idea that you could answer these questions and get four letters that encapsulated something important about your personality. But those four letters didn't help me much. And I later found out that's because I was totally doing it wrong. But but my roots with the personality geekery do go back to decades ago.
Well, I can tell in your book, in your writing, that it wasn't something that was, oh, it's a topic of conversation. I find it of interest. You can really tell that your heart comes through by the stories you share. And it's very fascinating. So a very enjoyable read for sure.
I'm so glad.
Okay, so I've got to start first with the definition of personality. Oh. I think that is a word that trips us all up. We can kind of invoke habits. We can invoke attributes, our strengths, our talents. Let's start first with what is personality so we're on the same page.
Well, that's hard because even I, who wrote a whole book about personality, will use the word probably to mean five different things in the course of the day. But in this book, I am talking about seven popular personality frameworks that capture something that is true about you, characteristic patterns of thought, behavior, and action that, generally speaking, are part of who you are out of the box that you don't have control over. That, I mean, you can learn how to manage, but you can't change, or at least can't change very much. I'm talking about the cards you were dealt for the kind of person you are, how you approach life. I am not talking about your character traits, your behaviors, what you like to eat for lunch. I'm talking about those hardwired things that you have to learn to deal with and manage, not that you can control.
And they are truly hardwired.
People do, I mean, your personality, even is defined according to this book, or the frameworks in this book, does change over time, but like barely. So people tend to become slightly more introverted as they get older and slightly more conscientious. But the true, like, I mean, if anyone ever goes from being like an introvert to becoming an extrovert, the researchers all want to know about it because that hardly ever happens, if it happens at all. I feel like I'm not the scientific person with a PhD at the end of my name who can say always or never. Right. But generally speaking, yeah, your personality, it doesn't change.
And maybe if you're that one in 1 million people, you're just totally weird.
Or, yeah, we have some doctoral students who want your number.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We want to do some extra research on you. Well, in going through all of this, you know, in life, I'm very much a people watcher. I can go to any place you place me and be very content just watching people's mannerisms, how they interact and all of that. But then on the other side, you have people who could care less. They're in their own world and that's what they do. What is the importance of personality and understanding them?
Well, I think that much in the way that, like, when you read a good novel, you get to experience the world through somebody else's eyes for 300 pages. When you understand a useful, helpful personality framework, you get a glimpse of what it might be like to see the world truly through somebody else's eyes. Because so many of us, until we have a conversation with a friend or, you know, get some kind of, have some kind of shocking experience in our personal lives or read a good book about personality frameworks, think that the way we see the world is the way everyone sees the world. And the way that we expect things to be is the way that everyone expects things to be. And something I really like about the personality frameworks in this book, and I keep using that word, but by personality frameworks, I mean like the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator or the Enneagram or the Clifton Strengths Finder. Those are the kinds of things I'm talking about. By reading up on these frameworks and understanding how they work, we can see the variety of ways people can approach the people around them, the way they work, you know, just the world we live in. And it's helpful, one, to help us realize that, like, oh, like my way of seeing the world is just one of many. But also when you have insight to how other people are approaching their relationship with you, for example, you really, it can unlock trouble spots in a relationship. It can deepen things when you understand each other better. And it can just eliminate a lot of the friction that naturally results when people who see the world in different ways interact with each other every day.
Beautifully spoken. And I think it also brings a sense of appreciation and this gratitude that we're not all the same. And that's what makes the world go round.
Well, yes, sometimes. I mean, there are certainly moments where that can be really, really frustrating. But on the whole, like, every time I email my web designer, so who fixes all my problems that happen in my world of tech, because I know just enough to be dangerous. I always think, like, I am so glad there are people in the world whose brains work this way. Like, I'm so glad you're in my life, because I was not born with that skill set. And I'm not saying there, like, I am getting a little bit into skills, but on the whole, I do not have the kind of personality that would lend me to be good at that person's job. Right. So I'm not saying maybe I couldn't grit my teeth and do it, but generally speaking, I'm happy doing what I'm happy, you know, what I'm doing, and he's happy doing what he's doing, but I am really glad we are both in each other's lives.
Yes, it's something about that. And in social media, which we have all over, when I was growing up, not so much, but there were these like pop fun cultural quizzes that would come, and now they come up in our feeds, and we like to take those, and I can't say I've ever taken one on social media. I probably did way back when we would write notes or someone would pass copies and then we'd make them into triangles. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know I'm dating myself now. What do these viral online quizzes tell us about our culture's desire to know more about ourselves?
Well, I mean, if we can't resist finding out which defunct 90s pop soda we are, then clearly we like, I mean, I think we like to find out how we're unique, and we also like to find out how we're similar. But I do think it points to the fact, now, I mean, sometimes it's just fun. Like, which Ryan Gosling character is your soulmate? Like, maybe we're not actually looking for like deep self-introspection when we click on that on BuzzFeed. But on the whole, like, I really do think we're all looking for more information about ourselves. And those quizzes, I mean, they're entertainment. They're generally speaking not like change your life solid information. But I think the reason they appeal to us so much is that we like a look at ourselves, especially through if someone else can like give us that information. So you click those buttons and it generates a result for you. You don't get to pick it off the list. So we think like, oh, what did I say that generated that result? Why did they say I was LaCroix and not like Canada Dry? So,
right. It does make you stop and think though. You wonder, and you wonder what's more, but I think it also is healthy because it leads us to these frameworks that you wrote about in your brand new book, which of course you're going to want to pick up your own copy, Reading People, How Seeing the World Through the Lens of Personality Changes Everything. So let's look in and take a peek into the frameworks. We don't have to go in great detail, but I know a lot of people out there have heard, like you mentioned already earlier, the Myers-Briggs, and a lot of them experienced it maybe in high school, college, or a combination thereof. I know usually with the ACT and the SAT, there's tests that you can actually take prior to, and then they send you a report later on, this whole write-up of what you should do when you grow up. Have you ever found that one? What you should do and when you grow up. But let's talk about these personality frameworks and what they are, and just kind of break them down a little bit step by step, so then people can say, oh, wait, I heard of that. Oh, I didn't know. And then we can go further.
Well, sure. Well, let me tell you about the ones I talk about in the book. And some of these overlap, but I really wanted this book to be accessible, not just to like psychology post-grad students, but to actual real people who usually read novels and not psychology textbooks. So we did break it down into pieces. So first I talk about introversion and extroversion. And I loved Susan Cain's book, Quiet. And I kind of assumed that, you know, she wrote the book, the whole world read it. We all know now, but I found out in the course of talking to people about introversion and extroversion since this book came out that there are still so many misconceptions about what that means, how to tell what you are, and how your life could maybe be a little better if you took your introversion or your spouse's introversion or your child's extroversion or whatever into consideration as you plan your days and your weeks and your family vacations and your Christmas holidays. Like, it really does make a big difference. So there are a lot of misconceptions, like introverts are not socially awkward people who would rather, like, you should just leave them alone and not, you know, not touch them. And extroverts aren't necessarily always the life of the party. So I do talk about what that really means and why it matters. And then I talk about highly sensitive people, which is now I might be pushing the lines a little bit to call this personality, but I put it in this book because learning about what a highly sensitive person is, it's basically someone whose nervous system is more finely tuned than the rest of us. So I'm a highly sensitive person 15 to 20% of us are, and that is across species. So like raccoons and panda bears can be highly sensitive or not. But the reason it's in this book on personality is that it is a hardwired trait that makes a huge difference in how you experience the world. And I can't tell you how many emails and notes and phone calls I've gotten from real life friends who've said, that changed my life. Like, I thought I wasn't cut out for family life. I thought that I was just like a wuss who didn't like to listen to the news. Like, I thought my child maybe had actual psychological issues because of the way they reacted to the tags in their shirts. And learning about highly sensitive people, like, instantly, like, helped me understand, but also really made our lives a whole lot better on a daily basis. So that's why it's here. We talked about Gary Chapman's 5 love languages, where he says that we all are inclined to express love in 1 of 5 ways, which is great. But if the people you are trying to show your love to don't understand that's what you're doing, or showing you love in a way it doesn't understand, really tragic miscommunications can result. So we cover that in this book. We talk about David Kiersey's temperaments. This has a nice circle of overlap with the Myers-Briggs type indicator, but they are not quite the same. But if you've tried to understand Myers-Briggs and you can't quite figure out your type, you need some Kiersey in your life, because he only has 4 types instead of 16. And it's so much, I mean, your odds are so much better at getting it right with 1 of 4. But I talk about how I was the one who really thought I needed to take a child to see the therapist because his behavior was so strange. But it turns out that there was nothing strange about it. It just wasn't my kind of behavior. And once we understood that, it made such a difference in our family life. Mm. Then we talk about Myers-Briggs, of course. And we devote another chapter to, I don't know who we is, but this book, this reading people and I, devote a chapter to the Myers-Briggs cognitive functions. And I know that is a word that scares all science people because it sounds very super sciencey and official, but it just means the way your brain works. And if you don't understand the cognitive functions, I am really sorry, but you don't really understand Myers-Briggs. And that is really hard news, because you may have to read that chapter twice to understand it. But it's also really good news, because once you understand those, you can be 100% confident that you actually know your Myers-Briggs type and what it means. It's so much easier to get your type right if you understand. And it is kind of a weird language. You need to get familiar with the terms, but you can do it. And I hope I make it easy on you. And then we talk about the Clifton Strengths Finder, which many people are familiar with from like a corporate setting. It's a very popular tool in corporate America. And that is, it's all fun and games. It's all like, what's great about you? So there are 39 potential strength themes in the Strength Finder, and you have 5 of them. And so that's great in 2 ways. Like, one, you get to see like, this is what I could be amazing at with a little concentration and effort, because that's what the Strengths Finder does, is identify themes that you could develop to become like true points of awesomeness. How's that for an official sounding
awesome
description? But it also shows you how there are 34 strength themes that you do not have. So just realizing like, oh, if I only have 5, then this is why this organization needs all those other people who think very differently from me. And that's humbling in the best sense. Mm-hmm. Like, it just really makes you a better team player, better human being.
Yes.
And the last one is the hardest. It's the one that's most likely to push you around. It's the Enneagram, which, according to that framework, there are 9 types of people. You will fit one of them better than any of the others. And the Enneagram uncovers the driving motivation behind everything you do, which sounds neutral, but really, it's called a negative system, because it basically shows you all the areas where you're terrible. So like, I'm a type 9, which means that my driving motivation is to avoid conflict at all costs, which might sound like warm and fuzzy and peacemaking, but really it's not a good thing. So people are driven by other motivations like fear. Nobody wants to read that they're driven by fear, but once you dive into it and see like how this could be at play in your life, you actually have the power to do something about it. And that's the real power of these frameworks. Like, if you don't know, I want to say if you don't know you're bleeding, but you probably know you're bleeding. So if you don't know that one foot is shorter than the other, then your whole body is going to be massively out of alignment until your doctor gives you that nice little heel lift that suddenly makes your elbow stop hurting, in your neck, in your hip, in your knee. And but you can't do anything about that problem until you know what you're dealing with. And I love how these frameworks can show you what you're dealing with, mm-hmm. even if it hurts sometimes.
That's fascinating, because all of them, there's a lot. And I'm sure everybody's like, oh, so everybody just take a deep breath, because that was a lot of information. But I'm telling you,
it was a lot.
If you grab her book, which I know you're going to, Reading People, How Seeing the World Through the Lens of Personality Changes Everything, you'll begin to understand, because she devotes a chapter on each one of these. And as you can tell, I have marked mine up completely, highlighted it. You can go back and read. And even if you're a coach out there listening, or you're a school teacher, you're a mom, you're a business person, anybody and everybody can benefit from this book, because the way Anne has structured it, she has really designed it to give you the base, the foundation. But then, Anne, which I love, you bring in real life situations. Mm-hmm. And I think in these frameworks, you get in, you take these tests, and people freak out, because some of these tests you take online and they're quick fire questions. And mm-hmm. you feel uncomfortable, like, oh my gosh, did I answer it wrong? And there's really not a right or wrong answer. It's just mm-hmm. your gut reaction immediately. Mm-hmm. Hearing the stories mm-hmm. of real life allows people, in my opinion, to identify with, oh, wait, mm-hmm. I see myself kind of in that. Or wait, no, I saw myself here. Oh my gosh, my husband is so there. You know, which that's yep. what I love. Mm-hmm. It brings a little bit, I don't want to say humanity, to these frameworks, because I think personality sometimes can seem like a robot. Mm-hmm. We don't want to touch it. Mm-hmm. We don't want to mess with it. It's not mm-hmm. feely touchy to what we want mm-hmm. as a human being. So thank you for bringing that to personality.
Yes, and I totally get it, because when you're just reading about anything abstract, you think like, oh, that's nice. Like, what do I need to study for the quiz? But it's not until you see what it looks like in action mm-hmm. that, I mean, I don't care until I think it's going to make an actual difference in my life. So that's what I really tried to do for people, like to show you how introversion and extroversion can make a huge difference in like your kid's baseball team experience, or how understanding your strengths can make your reading life fun again. Like, until you see how these frameworks can affect your life, mm-hmm. you don't care. It's just very abstract. Mm. So thank you. I tried to bring it home with personal stories that you could see yourself in, or your friend, your neighbor, your spouse, or your kid.
Yes. Well, and you just touched on some of the benefits of understanding personality, because when you do, it takes your life to a whole nother level, because ultimately I believe that we were created on purpose for a purpose. We serve a God that created us with very unique tendencies, our characteristics, what makes us us. So we'll take out the mm-hmm. word personality so it doesn't scare mm-hmm. everybody. There's mm-hmm. only one Anne, thank goodness, because if there was two or three of modern Mrs. Darcy, I don't know what we would do. But it's great that there's only one of you. So mm-hmm. what can we change, though, about our personality? We've got these frameworks. We know they can make an impact in our lives. Mm-hmm. But is there anything we can really do about personality, especially if we're hardwired?
Oh, of course. Well, okay. So Winston Churchill said, how's that for friendly and accessible? So it's a great line, though. It's a great line.
It is.
He was talking about architecture, but he said, we shape our buildings, but then our buildings shape us mm-hmm. because that's how the world works. So our personalities may be like, you are who you are. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean like your personality is your destiny. That doesn't mean there's nothing you can do about it. And if you ever hear someone say like, oh, well, because of my Myers-Briggs type, I couldn't possibly. That's not how it works. And that's not how it's meant to work. It's not an excuse. It's not mm-hmm. like a prescription, but it does describe who you are. Mm-hmm. So if we shape our buildings and our buildings shape us, I like to think about how we shape our lives. And then our lives, with our help, shape us. So we can choose who we live with, who we love, who we're friends with, who we want to have coffee with on a Tuesday afternoon. Not like I've done that on any recent Tuesday afternoon, but that does sound really nice. We get to choose what we read and what we think about and what we talk about and where we go to church. Like, we have control over all those things. But all those structures, all those choices that we make for our lives, even if it feels like we're not really choosing, mm-hmm. But like, you know, are we really choosing to think about whatever on a day? But you do have control about so many factors in your life. And then how we spend our days is how we spend our lives, is what Annie Dillard says. And she is a wise one. So we can choose how we spend our days and who we spend them with and what we spend them doing. And then that determines more than any other factor what kind of people we end up being. So we maybe can't choose to be the life of the party, or at least not for more than like 20 minutes at a time if we're an introvert. Yeah. But we can choose what kind of relationships we want to have. Like, we do have control over that, or how we want to spend our days, or what we want to do in our work, or if we want to cultivate compassion or kindness or generosity. We have total control over that, no matter what any test says.
Mm-hmm. That can be scary for some people, mm-hmm. that we have that control, because I love that you brought up excuse. Mm-hmm. A lot of us like to escape, and we say we want this change. Mm-hmm. You already talked about October is an awesome month. You got your crock pots out, and we're going to blink, and it's going to be New Year's. Mm-hmm. And everybody's going to say, I want to make these changes. I want to do something different. Mm-hmm. It's something new. Mm-hmm. But yet then we hold on to these excuses. How do you think people can escape the excuses and use these frameworks actually to empower them?
That's funny, because you started talking about the holidays and said escape. And my brain immediately went to how I don't think it's a coincidence that so many people, that sometimes Netflix breaks Christmas week because so many people are trying to watch it at the same time. And I really think that is everybody recharging from all their family gatherings, that all the introverts, and they reel in the extroverts, and they're like, let's just go recharge our batteries with 3 hours of Netflix. So, well, I think we have to be really honest with ourselves about who we are in our personalities. So what kind of people we are. And this goes beyond personalities, like what we really want and how we can make that happen. And in this book, I talk a lot about what makes you you and what makes other people them, and how you can smooth the relationships that need smoothing, improve the relationships that you'd like to see deepened. But ultimately, you only have control over you. So with that in mind, being really honest with yourself about what you can do, what you can expect of yourself, but what you can expect of others, could maybe make for a more peaceful holiday season where you're watching the Netflix for fun and not out of desperation and exhaustion. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wouldn't it be nice just to enjoy it for fun? Because I get it. I know opposites attract. My husband is one that he needs that time. The holidays, he absolutely adores his family, my family, but it wears him down. And it's not because it's just how he's made.
Yeah. You know? Well, and honestly, it can be really great for, I'm an introvert, and it took me years to catch on to the pattern that if we go to one family person's house on Thursday of Christmas week, two family people's houses on Friday Christmas week, a Christmas party on Saturday morning, you know, another Christmas event Saturday night, and we're going everywhere with like four small children in the car who never stop talking, like, I love them. And they're older now, but like, if you are an introvert or a highly sensitive person, that is going to be bad news for you. And if you don't see that coming, you're going to find yourself in the middle of yet another like Christmas death march in the season that's supposed to be so meaningful and fantastic and rich with relationships and memories and traditions, is just going to leave you depleted. And if you can see that coming and know what is true about you and what you need, it can really change your experience. And there are, and like, even if you think like, oh, what am I going to do about it? Like, take a walk when you get to your in-laws. If you've been by yourself, say like, I'm going for a walk. You will thank me for it later. Like, there are things you can do.
Yes.
Maybe that's not what yours would look like, but there are things you could do. Mm-hmm. So maybe that means that instead of listening to Christmas music or watching TV while you're wrapping presents, you just need to do it in silence. Mm-hmm. So your brain can just exhale. But in order to know what you need, like, you have to know yourself and recognize those patterns and But then you can figure out like how you could make a hectic season that's maybe wonderful, but is nevertheless hectic, easier on yourself. And that could be true now when we're in fall sports season. That could be true in the summer when you're talking about like 4th of July giant parties, navigating, you know, different personalities who may have very different feelings about the same kind of gathering. It can be true about spring break or New Year's resolutions, just like knowing the kind of people you're actually dealing with, including you, and being realistic about what you want and what you can expect can really make a big difference in how things turn out.
Mm, I love it. So now let me ask you this. How have you used these frameworks in your life to benefit you even further?
Oh, wow. So recently in my house the past few weeks, it's been in figuring out how to manage our children's homework. And which parent will manage which child's homework because of various personalities. Like if two people are really punching each other's buttons, then if you understand that like nobody's trying to be mean or cranky, like it's just not a good combination, then you might be able to change that combination and everybody will be so much happier. I'm using them a lot in my business. Like I was telling you about my tech whiz and how I am not that person. I'm an INFP, so that's not an excuse, but one of the best things I have ever read in a personality book was in, it's called Creative You. It's by Otto Krieger, and he might have had a co-author, and I'm sorry if I'm blanking on your name, but he said, like, as an INFP, like, you are a lightning storm of ideas. Like, you are an idea person, but without, like, serious, intense, deliberate effort on your part, those lightning bolts are not going to hit the ground. The implication that that would be a good thing. Like you have all the ideas in the world, but nothing ever comes of them. So just knowing that I'm inclined to not follow through really helps me follow through because I have an eye out for that. And it also helps me hire people who are really good on the follow through and the details. So, I mean, my business is in so much better shape because I know where I'm strong and where I need help. So,
yeah.
And, like I know that when I get overwhelmed because of my personality, my decision-making capacity is the first thing to go. Like it's been a long day and you want to know what's for dinner. Like I just can't. So knowing that about myself helps me like plan ahead or turn very quickly to someone else in my family to say like, I need you to make some decisions here and manage the situation. Just knowing those things about yourself can make your life so much smoother.
Oh, I love it. And you all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Reading People, How Seeing the World Through the Lens of Personality Changes Everything. And Anne, you have made some changes in your life. We've got a lot of people here that listen in and watch that are really inclined regarding marriage. Marriage, we talk about a lot. How would you say these personality frameworks would benefit a marriage?
Well, so many of the stories in this book are really all about communication, and marriage requires excellent communication. So I think they're so helpful in that way. Like one of my big aha moments about learning how something so strange sounding as Myers-Briggs might matter in my life was when my husband and I were newly married. So this was a long time ago now, and this was before I really understood these frameworks the way I did now. Like I was trying, but I just wasn't getting it. And what I couldn't see at the time was because that despite my wishing that I was a certain type, wishing doesn't make it so. Like I was taking the test purely aspirationally. Like, oh, I'd love to be the kind of person who's always neat and tidy and organized and rational minded. So check. Like that's not actually helpful if you're trying to use information about your personality to change your life. Like you got to know what you're really like and you have to own that. And yeah. And so many people do what I did without even realizing they're doing it. So yeah, you got to be honest with yourself and that's really hard. But when my husband and I were first married, like we were young and innocent and inexperienced. Like we were both 22 when this story happened. So we were babies, but it was learning about personality that really helped us get through something really tricky in our early relationship, which was even though we'd been together for a while, we had no clue how to disagree and move on. Mm-hmm. So, and we were in this really, I mean, I can see it now in hindsight, but we were in this really ugly cycle where I would get upset and I would tell him I was upset and he'd get really quiet And then I get upset that he was quiet because I would think he didn't care, but he totally knew I cared and he cared deeply, but he just wasn't emotionally expressive. Mm-hmm. So then he'd get mad that I wasn't getting it. And then I'd get mad that he wasn't getting it, even though he was upset because he got it. It was not a good situation. But I read in one of David Kiersey's books, and I tell this whole story in the chapter about Kiersey's temperaments. Yeah. So what I realized was, it was one of the weirdest moments of my life, sitting on the couch reading Kiersey describe how two married people or romantically involved people who are my type, my husband's type, how they handle conflict. And I was like, oh, this is weird. This is so weird because that is like, this book was written before we were born, but that is us. And just seeing on the page how he says these two types are extremely well suited for marriage, except for this one part, which could be an endless sticking point if the people involved don't realize what's going on, because this is exactly what happens. And he was right. That was exactly what happened. So when I could see on paper that, well, first of all, because we were married, we would have conflict, totally normal. Like, that dials down something that feels like an emergency to like, oh, this is like a fact of life. It's fine. I mean, you have to change some light bulbs sometimes. You don't get too upset about it because you know how they work. Like, this is how it works. It's fine. But just seeing that our conflict wasn't like, oh my gosh, what have we done? Like, are we just totally unsuited, but completely 100% expected and normal, really changed it from this mega big deal into like a nuisance that we could handle. Mm-hmm. And that has happened so many times in like my relationships with my kids, my relationships with my husband. Mm-hmm. 'Cause sometimes people act in a way that make you think like, what are you doing? Like, I do not understand. And just understanding over and over again that there is a reason they're acting like that. And it's not how you would have acted, but that's because you're not them, not because they're clueless and wrong. And it's just so, so freeing. And then any specific tips you can glean from like, because I'm this type of person and you're that type of person, this is what's likely to go wrong, but this is what you can do instead. Like, that's just the icing on the cake. 'Cause so many times just realizing we're all fine here, but we're butting into each other, and this is why just diffuses the situation. Hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah, it does diffuse the situation. And you've been married now 17 years, so obviously it's worked. At least a portion of it has worked. Maybe it's not 100%.
At least a portion of it.
You know?
At least a portion.
Yeah. Marriage takes work, but I think it's really important because relationships, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a marriage to a best friend, as in, you know, you're just great girlfriend that you just hang out all the time. Mm-hmm. I know I've butted heads with my best girlfriend. I butted heads with my mom. It's a special, very deep relationships because we all want that love. And you can just bring it to a whole nother level and an understanding, and you can give them what they need sometimes without feeling like, well, what do they think they're doing? Don't they know they're hurting me too, and taking the defense instead of the offense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I love that. I love that. Okay. So I got to ask you, though, on the other side, what has the most difficult of your personality that you discovered through some of these frameworks that has really challenged you?
Oh, that, I mean, it's the Enneagram for sure. And I know that's not a framework that a lot of people are familiar with, but it's worth getting acquainted with. When you read about your glaring weaknesses on the page and then go off and live your life with that like little radar running at the back of your brain, that's scanning your environment going like, oh, this is how that's messing you up. This is how that's tripping you up. Like, oh, you fell in that hole again. Wow. This is kind of an issue for you. That is enormously beneficial in the long term, but really painful in the moment. And actually one of the, authors who's written, an Enneagram book called The Enneagram, A Christian Perspective. It's by Richard Rohr. And he has said about the Enneagram, the truth will set you free, but first it will make you miserable. And that's totally, totally true. Mm-hmm. And that's not everyone is as mortified on a daily basis about when they first read about some aspect of their personality. But for better or worse, I wrote a book about it. So like, I would really dive into the Enneagram for hours and the different types. And then I'd walk away and live my life and like kept doing this, like rinse and repeat over and over and over. So I had lots of opportunity to be mortified about my own behavior. Mm-hmm. So good for me in the long run, but oh, painful.
When you shared in your book a time when you called someone for counseling, and you were a little bit taken back by the receptionist who, I'm going to call her receptionist, who kind of suggested that you should talk to Pam. That was who you called. I think that's who you called, the counselor. That's not her real name, obviously, but but Pam. But when you read your copy, your own copy, you'll know this whole story. But in there, she said, maybe you have issues with boundaries.
Yes. Yes. And I'd forgotten about that story. Yeah. So what you're talking about is when I think I was 31, and it finally occurred to me that I should seek like actual professional counseling for something that had happened in my life. And yeah, I called up and I said, okay, I feel like an idiot, but here's the situation. I don't know what I need. I've never gotten counseling before. What do I do next? And yeah, the receptionist who, like, props to the receptionist for actually, first of all, enduring my like verbal like bleh, all over about my story, because I didn't know what to say or what they needed to know. And so I just kept talking. But she said, oh, yeah, I know who you should see, because she's really great with boundary issues. Mm-hmm. And what surprised me was nowhere in that whole conversation had I used the word boundary. Mm-hmm. And when I hung up, I just couldn't understand what I had said that made her say that. You know, sometimes somebody captures your experience in a few words and you go, oh, yes, that's a great way to put it. Yes. That was not my experience. Like, I just could not understand what I'd said that had made her call it a boundary issue. So many sessions of counseling later, like, I saw it, like, I got it, but I just didn't understand what was going on in my life that would cause her to use those words. So many years later, when I got acquainted with the Enneagram, I found out that my type, the type 9, our root weakness, besetting sin, different authors call it different things, but my big issue was laziness. And for a long time, I didn't think I was a 9 because I'm not a lazy person. I get, like, I'm a firstborn daughter. Like, I get all the work done, like, super self-motivated. And that just didn't go for me. And once I understood that they didn't mean, like, sit on the couch and watch TV all day, they meant that you are slothful. It's such a weird old-fashioned word, but they use it. That you're lazy about enforcing and recognizing your personal boundaries, I was like, oh, wait, so much makes sense now. So much makes sense about calling that counselor for the first time so long ago to, like, a conversation I had with a friend last week. Mm. So that wasn't really, I mean, nobody wants to hear you're sloppy about maintaining healthy personal boundaries. I mean, that's not like put that on a button so I can wear it to school. But, I mean, finding that out and doing something about it can transform your life. Yeah, I wrote the book, but I'd forgotten about that.
Well, I did read the book, and of course,
you read it a lot more recently than I did.
Everybody's going to want to pick up their own copy of Reading People: How Seeing the World Through the Lens of Personality Changes Everything. You know, and people are going to want to get in touch with you. They're going to want to find you. Where can they connect with you?
Well, my main site that will send you to my main hub is annbogel.com. So that's Ann with an E, B as in books, OGEL.com. Or if you want to go straight to the blog, that's modernmrsdarcy.com. And the podcast is on iTunes as What Should I Read Next?
That is awesome. Of course, we will have all that information for you in the show notes. I want to read a quote from you in your book. You said, "My personality isn't a limiting label. Instead, understanding my personality has blown my possibilities wide open." For the one who's sitting there going, gosh, I've heard of some of these. I'm struggling here. I know I'd like to make some changes. What would be your gift of advice to them right now as to where to begin?
I would say choose one framework, make it an easy one, and dive in. Like, what the thing I find myself recommending the most is getting a copy of Reading People and just flipping to chapter 3 on highly sensitive people, because nobody knows this stuff, but the odds are overwhelming that you are affected in some way. And after reading, so let's see, it's less than 20 pages. So, and you can walk away with something quick, actionable, And once you see how understanding something different about yourself or someone in your life can change the way you move forward in a really positive way, I think you'll be hooked. So introversion, extroversion would be another excellent place to start. And I would say, like, don't get overwhelmed with understanding every last detail. Just read a couple paragraphs and get started. And I say, like, if you read Reading People, you don't need to read it cover to cover. Like, scan the table of contents, pick the one that jumps out at you, and you can dive in at any point. But what I really want you to do is experience how this can really change your life for the better just by reading one story about somebody else's experience. Just find that example you relate to, and you'll know what to do next.
Mm. Beautiful. I love it. Well, before I let you go, this series is called My Strength is My Story. I have one last question for you. Mm-hmm. What has your story gifted you?
Oh, wow. So one of my favorite quotes is from Emily Dickinson, and it is, "I dwell in possibility," which I have just completely ripped from context of her poetry, but I love her. I hope she's okay with it. It's really been a gift to realize that this, like, lightning storm of ideas and, like, the possibilities that are so important to me, like, to see in the world and to point out to other people, like, to look at familiar things and see possibilities for how they could be different, whether that's on my blog, Modern Mrs. Darcy, whether that's in pointing them to the right book, whether that's in the pages of Reading People. Just seeing the power of possibility in my own life and then giving that gift of potential new and different possibilities to other people has really been so gratifying and not something I would have expected to hear myself saying 20 years ago. Yeah.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful. I dwell in the possibilities. You have dwelt already in the possibilities. You have conquered a lot of things. And, you know, Anne, this has been such a pleasure to have you on. You're such a gem. I look forward, hopefully, to connecting with you again. And, of course, we'll have all the information for you on our brand new book, Reading People, How Seeing the World Through the Lens of Personality Changes Everything.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been a delight.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.